Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. Unceded Airwaves is broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, unceded, and current lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Unceded Airwaves broadcasts every week from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Autumn Chanel Vilji. I'm Treaty 11 Gwich'in, an Inuvialuit on my mother's side, and I was born and raised in Amaskwatu, Waskayagin, on Treaty 6 in the traditional lands of the Cree, Métis, Nakota Sioux, and Soto peoples, and I acknowledge that I'm an uninvited guest on unceded Coast Salish lands, and I'm very grateful to be here. I've been here for about 6 months, and I feel grateful every single day. Do you want to introduce yourself, Carly?
Sure. Tanche, Carly Dushnika and Sean. Hello, my name is Carly. I'm Cree Métis on my dad's side. We're from Treaty 1 territory, the Red River Settlement in Manitoba, but I was born and raised on Stalo territory, and I am an Icelandic settler on my mom's side. I'm an MFA student here at UBC on Musqueam lands, and I'm very grateful to be a guest on the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
You're listening to Season 3, Episode 12 of Unceded Airwaves. Today we want to thank our sponsors, Decolonizing Water and NORAD Electric, and we will be talking about Black History Month. We have an interview with Judy Lewinson from Black Voices Vancouver, and we have a mostly local Black-powered playlist for you all. But before we get into it, let's set our intention for the day. So, we are the Indigenous Radio Collective. Every week we discuss Indigenous issues, current events, and entertainment. We are a collective of Indigenous and non-Indigenous students who use our weekly airtime for our own self-representation.
We strive to center Indigenous voices on our show and to build narratives that empower Indigenous people. Unceded Airwaves is our opportunity to share and define the diversity of our cultures and highlight some influential Indigenous people.
If you can relate to the goals of the show and are wondering how to get involved, please reach out. You can always reach us on our own on our social media. We have Facebook and Twitter. And if you have a voice for decolonization, then we would like to hear from you.
Everyone is welcome, and there's no experience necessary. Our weekly meeting is it's not still Wednesday at 1, is it? It's Monday.
No, it's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday today.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, you're going to have to bear with us today, folks. We're both battling illness. So,
And there are so many technological problems.
Yeah, we
today.
Had a few technical difficulties at the beginning of the show. So anyway, sorry, back to the intention. Everyone is welcome, and there's no experience necessary. Look at us. We're a couple of crazies. Our weekly meeting is every Wednesday at 1 p.m., like today, we just had one, in the CITR station in the lower level of the Nest. If you want to get involved but don't want to be on air, that's totally cool. There are plenty of other ways to participate in the collective.
You can follow Unceded Airwaves on our Facebook and Twitter. And if you're aware of a great Indigenous artist, send us a tweet using the hashtag #UncededMusic or send us a Facebook message at Unceded Airwaves, and we will do our best to get it on air. And if we play a song you send us, we will even give you a shout-out.
We're always looking to hear from our listeners about what you're up to. So let us know about any Indigenous artists that you're into right now and what events you're attending or promoting. As always, we'll post a link to the podcast of this episode after the show. And we'll have our weekly unceded listing
events, unseated events listing to share a little later in the show. Again, we've got a lot of events.
We have a bunch today.
Yeah, don't come for Autumn and Carly, stay for the unseated events.
True.
In the whole wide world, all my niggas in the whole wide world made the sun and make it all yours. Time for us, this shit is for us. All my niggas let the whole world know. Play the song and sing it on your terms. For us, this shit is for us. Try to come for us. All my niggas got the whole wide world. Tell the niggas that it's all our turn. This us, some shit is a must. Some shit is for us. When you know you gotta pay the cost, play the game just to play the boss. So you're thinking what you gain.
It's your call. Liquor in my system, we must brawl. Addiction, disobey the law. Don't clip my wings before I learn to fly. I didn't come back down to earth to die.
All my niggas in the whole wide world made the song to make it all yours. Turn for us. This shit.
Nobody else. Yeah. No.
And now I talk to Black Voices Vancouver about Black History Month and why Indigenous Black solidarity is important and beneficial for both parties. And here is what Judy Lewinson from Black Voices Vancouver had to say.
Hi, my name is Judy Lewinson from Black Voices Vancouver, as well as many other things. Some people know me as Judy Lou. Some hip-hop heads might remember me as Sketch Giamani. And I'm very happy and pleased to be here. Thank you for having me.
Lovely. Can you tell us the type of work that Black Voices Vancouver does in its community?
Definitely. So Black Voices Vancouver is actually one of several projects produced by my production company called Vangria, which is a combination of Vancouver and Ryder. It's Vancouver-based, and we do productions and publishing. So basically, with Black Voices Vancouver, we serve as a multi-platform cultural experience, and we have a global audience. So being online, we get to interact with people from all over the world. And our primary goal is to positively demonstrate that you know, what the Black community looks like, the voices that we have, the opportunities where people can engage, embrace, and listen to us, be inspired by us, you know, entertained by us, and so forth. And most importantly, learn how diverse our community is, which is why our tagline is One Community, Many Voices.
That's beautiful. And then can you give us some context as to what Black history is and has been in Vancouver and Lower Mainland? Specifically talking about like Hogan's Alley and other similar events that you're aware of that most people might not know about?
Okay. So when I speak about Black history in the context of Vancouver, I immediately say to people it's bigger than Vancouver. It's actually British Columbia that has a very rich Black history going all the way back to the 1800s with Sir James Douglas, for whom Douglas College is named after. And he was a fur trader and, of course, the governor. But within Black history for British Columbia, we celebrate not just the things that have happened around the world, but our immediate history, including having the Black community being the first militia in British Columbia that was formed from Jamaican immigrants who were invited by James Douglas to create this militia. And the reason why that's quite significant is that, obviously, in the 1800s, racism was quite rampant. And despite helping with fundraising for the fire brigade, Blacks were not allowed to join the fire department. And so it was law enforcement that we found our first positioning in within the province itself. Other things that are important when we talk about Black history in Vancouver, Metro Vancouver, British Columbia, you know, we recall, you know, the contributions of Emily Barnes, who was an MLA and deputy speaker in the legislature. We talk about Harry Jerome, who was at one time the fastest man on earth. And most people may know him as just the really cool statue at Stanley Park. But his contribution to our community is also quite incredible. We have Rosemary Brown, who was a Jamaican-born woman who had a wonderful and positive influence on politics and education here in British Columbia and Canada. She helped to highlight issues around human rights, poverty, racism, sexism, and she really believed that early education was the key to creating positive change. And then there is, you know, a very large Caribbean community out here, and Judge Selwyn Romley, who recently retired, he's Trinidadian-born, but he served on BC's Supreme Court. So, and he's a very, very funny man. But, you know, his contribution significantly developed many of the laws in British Columbia, and he's also been tremendously supportive in and throughout the Black community and the overall community throughout Metro Vancouver and British Columbia. I mean, there's so many people to celebrate, and I know our time is limited. You did mention Hogan's Alley, which right now is facing a very, very important vote as to what's going to happen when the viaducts come down. I believe it voted this evening. And basically, you know, 50 years ago, a community was unceremoniously, to put it politely, removed. And so now there's this opportunity to create space that acts as a form of reparations, if you will, for what happened, and a recognition officially by the city of Vancouver of the wrongdoings and the displacement of the community that lived there. It was, you know, Hogan Valley was a primarily Black community. There were other cultural groups living there as well, but you know, this is an opportunity for, as Spike Lee would say, to do the right thing. And so we're, you know, we're really, really happy with the progress that's been happening. I definitely have to give a shout out to the Hogan Valley Trust, because they have been working tirelessly to ensure that our community remains in focus as conversations and planning around the viaduct coming down and what would go in its place has been taking place. And to learn more about Hogan Valley, I would say to visit their website, HogansValleyTrust.ca.
Beautiful. So what would it mean if Hogan's Alley was reclaimed to you? Like, what impacts would you say that would have?
I think that one thing that is really important is the importance of acknowledgement and accountability. Acknowledging that a wrongdoing took place, accountability that a wrongdoing took place, however, we are making efforts to make things better, to rectify the situation, to create opportunities for members of the Black community to gather in a space that was originally theirs and say that this is here for you now to celebrate your community and your culture moving forward. I feel like that's what's really important here. I've been to some of the planning meetings and seen some of the drawings and so forth, and I'm hoping that a community center does come out of this, along with some of the other things that have been proposed. But I feel as though that would really help to unify the diversity, even within the Black community, to have a single place that people can come to.
That's so interesting. And then, so how has this history had a lasting impact on you and the work that you do with Black Voices Vancouver?
So for me, Black history is incredibly intriguing. As I mentioned, you know, there's so many different cultures within the Black community. And so for myself, my Jamaican heritage, I'm incredibly proud of us being in British Columbia since, you know, the early to mid 1800s. So that's something that I can, you know, sort of say, like, you know, no, my people have been here, which is great. You know, as a child, I remember Judge Romilly actually speaking at an event that we called the Junior Black Achievement Awards and inspiring, you know, all of us to, you know, grow up and become something great, you know, just aspire to excellence. And to be able to carry the words that were spoken to me when I'm 11 and 12 now in the work that I do, I feel as though I am being respectful of my elders. And I also feel as though I was given a very guided path as to how to proceed forward, which I find to be incredibly helpful and motivating when challenges arise in particular.
Huh. And then how do you combat, or at least try to combat, I know it's hard to completely combat, systemic violence to both Black communities and also Indigenous communities simultaneously?
Right. So the, like you said, it's very, the challenge is great to sort of take on, you know, combat is such an aggressive sort of response to anything. However, sometimes you do feel like you're in the trenches and sometimes you feel like you're alone. But I feel like when I try to maneuver through any sort of obstacles in life, I embrace the teachings of my elders. I mentioned Judge Romilly, you know, Nalda Callender from the National Congress of Black Women, another very inspirational woman and a grounding force in our community. I also look to sort of our legacy that I have to sometimes seek out because it's not necessarily taught in the forefront of school. But through communicating with those who have walked the path before us, I find that I'm able to navigate things in a far less contentious manner. And most importantly, one thing I learned was that you have to, if you really want to be effective with change, get into being a part of the system in an effort to change it from the inside out, and always keep showing up. They can't deny your existence if you're always there.
Are there any specific tactics that you use, like, in order to implement that? Like, how do you get into the system?
Well, for a while, I worked for the Ministry of Attorney General, and I mean, as I mentioned at the top of the interview, people might remember a sketch, you know, this battle MC, and I would, you know, tour and do all those fun things. But I also knew that as an entertainer, I would have some level of power and privilege in getting into spaces that I might not normally been able to just walk through the front door and say, this is what I want to do. And so I would be able to use a little bit of my resume and my position then at the Ministry of AG to not only go around to different schools and talk to students and to educators, but I was also able to gather those voices and then be invited to Victoria to get into the room with those people that make the bigger decisions. And I was able to communicate what all of us were saying, not just kind of what I wanted to hear, but what all of us were saying, very considered thoughts and ideas. And if I hadn't gotten the job and then, you know, sort of used my sort of know-hows and skills and so forth to maneuver that system, a lot of things that I have seen change in school systems and in laws and policies may not have happened. And, you know, I play a small role in it, but I wonder if I hadn't played any role, what would the difference be? So it's just, you know, you have to get inside there and shake it up a little bit. They didn't always understand where I was coming from, but the fact that I wouldn't leave, I was always there and always showing up, really meant this was important to us as young people. This was important to us as people of color, and we will not go quietly into that dark night.
That's so interesting. That's so cool. And then in what ways would Indigenous Black solidarity and decolonial activism positively affect the Black community in the Lower Mainland and also, as you pointed out, all of British Columbia, in your opinion?
Mm-hmm. I believe that any work that requires many hands should not be the responsibility of just a few. So rather than relying on, you know, the key activists in our community, I think that, you know, it's my belief that we should positively create sort of a pattern of process similar to what Rosemary Brown spoke of, the importance of early childhood education that will help to break those chains, because the same way that a child learns to be destructive, to be racist, to be a bully, to be transphobic, all those different things, you can equally instill the power to resist those teachings at an early age. And so I feel as though, yes, we have to have our activists who lead the charge, but they mustn't be left out there in the battle to carry it while we carry on in our own way. So for me, it's about engaging, and it's about engaging people in real life, not just online. The social media, people commenting on different things, there's no tone in text. It's about getting off of our smartphones, getting out from behind our keyboards, and meeting up in real places, in real life situations where we can get to actually know one another, meet and greet in the street as they used to do before, you know, I don't know, when my parents said that they had to walk uphill both ways when it snowed back then.
Yeah.
In the days of horse and carriage, if you will. But there's something about the honesty and the truth and the genuineness that you can tell from somebody when you shake their hand, as opposed to whether they write on a keyboard, you know, I'm interested in your event that might change the world, or I like your event that might change the world. But if you're not there for the actual conversations, and those conversations don't become so commonplace that, you know, the oppression becomes the outrage for everyone across all cultural groups, we will find ourselves at a disadvantage every single time. It's important that we must get out there and embrace one another in the street and truly have honest conversations that are moving in the same direction towards, you know, equality for everyone.
Yeah. So solidarity, basically.
solidarity, but obviously not a not in a sense that it's just, well, this is the way it should go, and so we're all just going to march in this direction. I think it's we are now realizing the importance of considering everyone's position and perspective. So it's not just that everybody gets a dollar, because some people might need two to be equal, and some person might only need 50 cents to be equal. So it's about really considering and seeing and understanding one another.
Yeah. You mentioned Rosemary Brown and also how you said education is at the forefront. Is there anything that Black Voices Vancouver is doing for primary education?
So what's with Black Voices Vancouver, with the Facebook page and with the podcast, we're in pre-production right now, so gathering interviews of influential voices, not just in and around Vancouver, but around the world. We're also sharing stories that you might not find in your local textbook, sharing stories that inspire, creating space for others who are creating content, children's authors, young adult authors, you know, professors, so forth. Whatever work that they're doing, we share it with the community. When artists are performing, we share that with the community. And we post on social media and send out email blasts to let people know that there's different things going on in the community, and because our community is so diverse, I mean, when you think about it, Black people come from, you know, there's over 50 some odd countries in Africa, over 25 countries in the Caribbean, you know, then you have South America, Central America, United States, Europe. We're coming from everywhere, and those different flavors and energies and stories all have some way to be represented. And so with Black Voices Vancouver, what we try to do is sort of be a almost like, you know, the local train station. As you're passing through, this might interest you. And, you know, share it not just within our community, but share it with other cultural groups too, because that is how we continue to allow our presence to be felt and heard.
That's really interesting. And when do you plan to release your podcast series?
So production is up based on talent, sort of like the situation here where we book our interviews, and we hope to have at least some introductory things before the end of Black History Month. However, you know, it's a podcast, so everything is subject to the availability of talent.
That's so cool. Podcasts are so cool. And then how would you recommend Indigenous communities to be better allies for Black communities in Vancouver, Lower Mainland, BC, and Canada and the world?
Yeah. I think it's about doing kind of like what we're doing, engagement, where, you know, we're on the phone today talking, but I hope at some point to meet you in person and to continue having conversations like this, showing up for and lending voices to important issues like the Hogan Dowie Initiative, you know, creating opportunities for real cultural exchanges. So when you have events that are going on, letting me know so I can post them on Black Voices Vancouver. Because what a lot of people don't realize is that our communities are quite connected in the sense that, especially through children, you have now the mixing of cultures, and so there's an appreciation of a shared history and children wanting to know all aspects of their history. So, you know, I love sharing that sort of whenever I have the opportunity to share something like that, I like doing that. And knowing that there's a community, how you reached out to me, it's very encouraging, because then I say to myself, here we have an ally. When you are doing something, let me know so I can show up for you, because clearly, without even prompting, you showed up for me.
Yeah. I find it really important, because I know that, like, not a lot of people talk about Black History Month, and in my life in the past, it hasn't been a big theme, and I don't know why it hasn't been. I feel like it should be.
I think it's about access to information. I think that part of Black culture in and of itself is that we are a talking culture, so people will share the word in conversation when they see each other at the barbershop, at their jobs, they meet someone at the bank, etc., and say, oh, this event is going on. And so you don't see a lot of stuff online, and it's a more traditional approach to communicating. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on, but like you said, if you're not sort of in that pipeline, you're not going to hear about it. Oftentimes, I don't hear about things until after the fact, and I'm just like, y'all need to get online.
Come on.
Or just email me, and then I'll tell people. So it's it's a funny thing because it's such a big part of our overall history to share things in person. But as we move forward in the technological age, we're going to need people to start blasting things out a little bit more as people are prepared to receive on their smartphones and so forth.
You'll get more web sharing and stuff.
Exactly.
But it also makes total sense why like communities went underground, because like how do you not go underground if bad things are happening?
Exactly. And so we're seeing a slow shift in things, and that's part of why I actually started Black Voices Vancouver, was that the Black community was missing incredibly from the last two election cycles. I didn't see us represented in any other parties' advertising material. None of the conversations were around any of the things that were specific to our community. And I felt, you know, incredibly bothered by that, because, as I said, if we've been here since the 1800s, why are we not a consideration now for policies and such that are moving forward? And so, you know, when you as in any business, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, you identify a problem and then you create a solution. So that's what I'm hoping, that Black Voices will be part of the solution. I'm hoping that others will continue to share, and opportunities like what we're having right here will continue to happen as well, because that makes you part of the solution as well.
Yeah, solution oriented. So I know that CITR, like, we've covered Hogan's Alley in the past in print, mm-hmm. and I think we're making a radio documentary about it using a couple Black activists who are involved in the station, as well as like I'm doing some coverage on Black History Month. But is there anything or any critiques that you would recommend on how to be better allies at CITR and at Unseated Airwaves?
I mean, around Hogan's Alley, I don't have any direct things other than you'd better talk to Wade Compton.
What's their name?
Wade, W-A-D-E, Compton, C-O-M-P-T-O-N.
Noted. I will pass that on.
Yes. Yes, definitely speak to Wade. And then I would go to the Hogan Valley website that I mentioned earlier. They would have more information there, too, and be able to contact people directly. And I think that would be very instrumental. But overall, I think, for the radio station in and of itself, it's just generally just engaging people again, encouraging other programs to share their cultural offerings and receive from other groups as well, so that there just is a larger conversation on the overall station. I find that, you know, because I work in film and television primarily, when you see a show that has a crossover to a new show, the new show gets more ratings. And so if we start seeing more conversations like that happen between shows, then the overall ratings for the station are improved as well. So I guess that would be my main suggestion.
Thank you.
Talk more.
Thanks for that.
Engage more.
And then, are you putting on any Black History Month events for Black Voices Vancouver that people should look out for and definitely attend?
Black Voices Vancouver is not putting on an event because I actually couldn't find a date in the month that would be not conflicting with a lot of things that I wanted to go to. If you go to our Facebook page, Black Voices Vancouver, it's also BVVONE, is our handle. I'm posting a lot of what's going on in the city. So there's a lot of musical performances, a lot of album releases, a lot of plays. There's a few youth events and so forth. So I just encourage your listeners to go to our Facebook page and see all the cool stuff that's happening throughout the month. But personally, I will be hosting a youth event for the National Congress of Black Women towards the middle of the month, and I'll post that information on Black Voices Vancouver.
That's wonderful. And then, do you know if there are any UBC-specific events that students might be interested in attending?
So I know that there was something coming up, I believe, at SFU, and I'm constantly getting information sent to me. So, again, I would just encourage people to go to the Facebook page, and as something comes through, I'll just post it up there off the top of my head. I didn't see anything, and I was hoping to maybe try and find some stuff, but I hadn't put anything through in time for this interview.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for making time for Unseated Airwaves. Is there anything else that you would like to say?
Well, thank you so much, first of all, for reaching out through Facebook. That was unexpected and a pleasant surprise, and I agree that our communities working together is the only way that things get better for all of us. And I'm thankful that I was able to share this time and space with you today. And thank you to your listeners for tuning in. I don't know, what else is there to... I actually had a quote that I had thought of. It's by Maya Angelou, and it helps to summarize what Black Voices Vancouver is about and sort of what Black culture and my general vibe is. And the quote goes as this: my mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive. And to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style. So I'm hoping that as we meet and greet one another in the street, may we do so with a little passion, compassion, humor, and style, so that we all will thrive, one community, many voices.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
You're listening to Unceded Airwaves, broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. That was an interview with Autumn and Judy Lewinson from Black Voices Vancouver. That was great. How was that talking to Judy? And it was a phone interview, Autumn.
Yeah, it was lovely. It was very warm and pleasant. And yeah. I feel like it's also really important because Indigenous Black solidarity isn't ever really talked about.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. No, that was, I appreciate that. Okay, so now we have curated a list of Black local artists for your listening enjoyment.
Tired of the gender binary, gender policing, or just want to speak your truth?
Join CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective.
This group of radio makers is all about centering the voices, issues, concerns, and experiences of women-identified, transgender, intersex, two-spirit, genderqueer, gender non-conforming, non-binary, and gender-fluid folks and allies.
Anyone can join, no experience necessary.
Like the Gender Empowerment Collective on Facebook or email volunteer at citr.ca.
Our show, Intersections, airs Thursdays from 4 to 5 and features music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about.
See you then.
Are you looking for your next step in education or to travel? Learn about undergraduate and postgraduate programs, professional degrees and doctorates, as well as work abroad, language, travel, and internships at the Study and Go Abroad Fair on February 25th at the Vancouver Convention Center. Admission is free, so check out www.studyandgoabroad.com for more information.
Nobody else. be in my night shift. I can catch your smile in the fitted eyes, but don't know why I can't understand the facts and just move on, just move on. I'm a stage five clinger, so upset if you ain't missing me. I'ma have to tell the hoe and catch another felony. I be violent, so malicious when I step up on your team. Never understood why I fell in love with all the greenery. I'm up on your mountain, seeing scenery. Pretty colors walking in your memory. I'm seeing neon, baby, hope you're missing me. Hope you're seeing me. I hope that you hate me by the time you get to see that.
Song? Okay. Here we go. 12 years of rhymes, 12 years of stage, mic. Here are 12 tracks. The people that support me, the people that made me, the music, and me.
Missy G, you got this.
This is it, this is me, this is it, this is now. This is it, this is me, this is now, this is how. This is it, this is me, this is it, this is now, this is it.
Rhythm of drums, a click, click. Typing the rhythm of hums. So who's this? A girl with a dream and more to come. Trial number one, beyond. What you see, what you hear, tell them you're feeling. In the depths of me, music, my love and my remedy. A beat with a band-aid, a mic with a mandate. Strange path or a strange fate. How high can I jump? I take a leap. Hope I won't hit to the ground. But if I do, you'll hear my sound. And if I do, you'll hear my sound. 'Cause if I do, you'll hear my sound.
You're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM. It's 2:46 p.m. You just heard Prado's single, You Ain't Him, and Missy D's When Music Hits You, You Feel No Pain. Both artists are local, Vancouver. Check them out on SoundCloud or elsewhere. Now we've got Unseated Events. This is where we highlight Indigenous relevant events that you might be interested in attending.
So the first one that we have is the Downtown Eastside Women's Memorial March. The first Memorial March was held in 1992 in response to the murder of a woman on Powell Street in downtown Vancouver. Out of this sense of hopelessness and anger came an annual march on Valentine's Day to express compassion, community, and caring for all women in Vancouver's downtown east side on unceded Coast Salish territories. The Women's Memorial March continues to honor the lives of missing and murdered Indigenous women and all women's lives in the downtown east side. Increasing deaths of many vulnerable women from the downtown east side still leaves family, friends, loved ones, and community members with an overwhelming sense of grief and loss. Indigenous women disproportionately continue to go missing or be murdered with minimal to no action to address these tragedies or the systemic nature of gendered violence, poverty, racism, or colonialism. So on Wednesday, February 14th, 2018, we will gather at 10:30 a.m. at the Carnegie Community Center Theater, 401 Main Street, the corner of Hastings and Main, where family members speak in remembrance. Given space constraints, we ask the broader public to join them at noon. And when the march takes the streets and proceeds through the downtown east side with stops to commemorate where women were last seen or found, speeches by community activists at Main and Hastings, a healing circle at Oppenheimer Park around 2:30 p.m., and finally a community feast at the Japanese Language Hall. Stay tuned to Unceded Airwaves for our Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Honoring episode next Wednesday.
And that next up, Spirit of the People Family Day Powwow, a family-friendly event. Everyone is invited to come out and share in our songs, dance, crafts, and food. We'll have many family-oriented games and contests. Grand entry, 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. each day. This event will be on February 10th, 11th at Squiala Road, Chilliwack, B.C.
What does reconciliation mean to you at UBC? Join us for an open conversation with Cindy Charlie Boy, Theatre for Living, on how everyday meanings and actions play a role in reconciliation. This is an opportunity for UBC students to engage with the what now question of reconciliation, exploring how it permeates aspects of all of our lives and completes everyday actions of honorable reconciliation. At UBC Lou Institute for Global Issues on February 13th from 1 to 2:30 p.m.
Really excited about this next one. Ryan McMahon, Indigenizing the Media. How do voices from outside the traditional settler mainstream media ensure that they are properly heard and represented? Something we ask ourselves every week on Unceded Airwaves. How can new media forms play a role in diversifying and enriching the media landscape? Ryan McMahon, Anishinaabe comedian, writer, media maker, and community activator based out of, as should that be activist? Or is he an activator? Is that what he goes by?
I don't want to question.
Ryan McMahon can identify any way he pleases. pardon me. So based out of Treaty 1 territory, that's Winnipeg, we'll explore these questions and invite the audience to be part of the discussion. This is 7 to 9 p.m. February 7th. That's tonight at 515 West Hastings. Reserve tickets by email at pubworks@sfu.ca. And I also just see here that Ryan McMahon will be on CBC at 4 p.m. For an interview. So check that out as well.
Yeah, catch Ryan. And then join MOA, or Museum of Anthropology curator Sue Rowley, for a special tour of our newest exhibit featuring early Salish weavings on loan from institutions in Europe and the United States. This tour will look at the history of these weavings and how they ended up so far from home. This is on February 15th from 7 to 8 p.m. at the Museum of Anthropology.
Last but not least, we've got Locution, the UBC Masters of Creative Writing reading series, featuring Alicia Elliott, Katharina Vermette, and Samantha Nock, and fabulous student readers Molly Cross Blanchard, Cavalina Torres, and Jessica Johns. That'll be hosted by me, Carly, tomorrow, February 8th at 6:30 p.m. at the Cottage Bistro, 4470 Main Street.
So thank you for tuning in. Thank you to Judy Lewinson for making time out of her busy schedule for an interview about this important topic. Thank you to our sponsors, NORAD Electric and Decolonizing Water. The next show that you'll hear is Cue It Up. My name is Autumn Schnell, and you're listening to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM.
I saw right through. Try to. 26-year-old woman who learned how to dance until she felt pretty. Feminism wears a throwback jersey, bamboo earrings, and a face beat for the gods. Feminism is the rap Missy Elliott, Lil' Kim, and Angie Martinez on the Not Tonight track. Feminism says, as a woman in my arena, you are not my competition. As a woman in my arena, your light doesn't make mine any dimmer. Dear Missy, I did not grow up to be you, but I did grow to be me and be in love with who this woman is. To be a woman playing a man's game and not be apologetic about any of it. If you ask me what representation is important, I will tell you that on days I don't feel pretty, I hear the sweet voice of Missy singing to me. Pop that, jiggle that fat, and don't stop, get it till your clothes get wet. I will tell you that right now there are a million black girls just waiting to see someone who looks like them.